Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with CBS World Report. China's Premier and Communist Party Chairman Hua Guofeng has begun a three-week visit to Western Europe. Hua arrived in Paris this morning. French President Valéry Giscard d'Estaing was at the airport to greet him, and we'll hear about his trip from Bernard Redmond.
Hua is doing what no Chinese of his top rank has ever done before, touring Western Europe as part of a plan to strengthen relations with nations that see the Soviet Union as a potential enemy. Hua succeeded Mao 3 years ago. He now holds the three top posts in China: chairman of the Communist Party, premier, and chairman of the Military Commission. His arrival in Paris begins a six-day visit to France that will be followed by stops in West Germany, Britain, and Italy. Chairman Hua is expected to use the visit as a platform for warnings of a Soviet threat. Hua's essential message to the West Europeans is this: stay united, strengthen the Atlantic Alliance and the European Common Market, and help China with credits and technology. Bernard Redmond, CBS News, Paris.
A group of black American leaders arrived in Israel this morning in a move clearly intended to reverse the effects of the recent tour of that area by the Reverend Jesse Jackson, head of Operation Push, People United to Save Humanity. Bob Simon has the story in Tel Aviv.
The delegates from the NAACP, the Urban League, and the Civil Rights Department of the AFL-CIO planned their trip before Jesse Jackson came to the Middle East. But Israelis see a dramatic relationship between the two visits. Put simply, Jackson was an enemy. These visitors are friends. At a news conference this morning, the delegates stressed black America's support for Israel, the vital relationship between Jews and blacks in the United States, and how important it is for Americans, black or white, to have no dealings with the PLO. Veteran civil rights leader Bayard Rustin.
To give any credence and respectability to one terrorist organization gives it to all. And to make the PLO in any way respectable is to make the Ku Klux Klan equally respectable.
It's far from accidental, of course, that Prime Minister Begin had no time to see Jesse Jackson while these black Americans have an appointment Wednesday morning. Bob Simon, CBS News, Tel Aviv.
Vernon Jordan, another prominent black leader, says today that American blacks should not support Palestinian terrorists against Israel and should remember the contributions that Jewish Americans have made to the civil rights movement. Jordan, who heads the National Urban League, is addressing the National Conference of Catholic Charities today in Kansas City, and he says in his prepared remarks that relations between blacks and Jews should not be endangered by ill-considered flirtations with terrorist groups devoted to the extermination of Israel. Not yet a declared candidate for a second term, President Carter takes to the hustings again today, and we'll hear about it from Lee Thornton.
The first stop will be Kansas City for an address to the National Conference of Catholic Charities. For that occasion, the president will turn his attention to the state of the American family as it copes with the twin crises of energy and inflation. Then on to Chicago, where the focus will be political as President Carter speaks at a fundraiser for Mayor Jane Byrne. Last week, while First Lady Rosalynn Carter was in Chicago, Mayor Byrne appeared to endorse the president, but quickly backed off when pressed, saying the Cook County Democratic chairman will call a caucus of local delegates and adding, "I think we will support him." The party chairman, however, has not committed himself. The president is haunted in the Midwest by questions about his leadership ability, and Senator Edward Kennedy has a lot of support in the region. So Mr. Carter will be trying to gain strength not only with his party, but with the people in suburban Chicago, where he'll conduct yet another town meeting, his favorite forum for airing administration policies. Lee Thornton, CBS News, The White House.
On Saturday, Mr. Carter and Senator Kennedy will share the platform in Boston at the dedication of the John F. Kennedy Memorial Library. Mr. Carter still holds a strong lead in returns from Saturday's Democratic caucuses in Florida, but the ballots have not been tallied yet in Dade County, where the president and the senator apparently ran very close, nor in Broward County. Carter supporters have conceded Broward to Kennedy because the Draft Kennedy movement and the AFL-CIO entered identical slates there. The United Auto Workers have already settled with two of the nation's big three automakers, General Motors and Ford. Today, as we hear from Rob Marr of CBS radio affiliate WWJ in Detroit, they turn to number three.
The auto workers union has to come to terms with financially strapped Chrysler Corporation and not only has to satisfy rank and file workers, but the federal government. Chrysler is seeking a minimum of $500 million in government loan guarantees to stay afloat over the next 2 years. The Treasury Department and the White House say there can be no real plan until the union commits itself to participating in the rescue effort. The UAW has already rejected Chrysler Chairman Lee Iacocca's request for a 2-year wage freeze. But Union President Douglas Frazier says something might be worked out if the company will give employees cost of living allowances over that 2 years and then retroactive wage benefits once the number three automaker returns to profitability. The problem is to fit the increased pension pattern set at GM and Ford and not hurt the younger active Chrysler workers. The union has not and will not set a strike deadline to help give the bargaining a definite end date, but union officials hope to wrap up the Chrysler talks by Friday. Rob Marr for CBS News, Detroit.
Seven prisoners broke out of the King County Jail in Seattle last night. Five were recaptured almost at once. A sixth was shot and killed. The seventh is reported either dead or wounded. Also wounded was a policeman. The continued and apparently increasing hostilities inside Cambodia are again aggravating the refugee problem. Peter Collins reports from Bangkok.
The Thai army has begun moving more than 30,000 refugees from Cambodia farther inland, away from the border between the two countries. The move came after five refugees were killed and a dozen injured yesterday by rocket-propelled grenades, apparently fired by Vietnamese-led forces from just across the frontier. The Cambodian refugees began streaming across the border over the weekend after Vietnamese-led troops began shelling and probing attacks against a concentration of forces loyal to the ousted Pol Pot regime. Several thousand diehard guerrillas of the Pol Pot government are making a last-ditch stand with their backs up against the Thai border at a point 130 miles east of Bangkok. The frontier is tense, with Thai Air Force observation planes making reconnaissance runs over the area, and the Supreme Command here in Bangkok updating contingency plans in case the Vietnamese cross into Thailand. Meanwhile, a British Royal Air Force transport made another run into the Cambodian capital of Phnom Penh from Bangkok today with food and supplies. But relief officials here say the daily flights are only a drop in the bucket compared with what is needed to stave off famine in Cambodia. Peter Collins, CBS News, Bangkok.
The Zimbabwe-Rhodesian Peace Conference took a new turn today in London. Mike Lee reports.
This morning, the British Foreign Secretary, in an effort to further pressure the guerrilla leaders into accepting the British plan for a new Rhodesian constitution, called the Patriotic Front leaders Joshua Nkomo and Robert Mugabe into a private meeting and asked them once again for a positive response to the so-called British plan. According to the British Foreign Office, the guerrilla leaders once again refused to accept the British constitutional proposals, which the front views as leaving too much power in the hands of the white minority, especially on the issue of who controls real estate. So the British chairman said he would go ahead with the talks on implementing the British constitutional proposals with the delegation which has accepted it. And that, of course, means the current government of Prime Minister Bishop Abel Muzorewa. The Patriotic Front is invited to take part in the talks when they resume tomorrow, but only if they fall into line on the constitutional issue. Thus, it appears at this point to be a one-sided negotiation, with the ultimate survival of the peace talks still in doubt. Mike Lee, CBS News, London.
The 1979 Nobel Prize for Physics was awarded jointly this morning to Sheldon Glashow and Steven Weinberg, both of Harvard University, and Abdus Salam, a Pakistani now working in Italy. They were honored for their electromagnetic studies of elementary particles. The prize for chemistry has been awarded jointly to Professor Herbert Brown of Purdue University in Indiana and Professor Georg Wittig of the University of Heidelberg in West Germany for the development of the use of boron and phosphorus-containing compounds in organic synthesis. Gold went up today. It was fixed in London at just above $400 an ounce, $5 higher than Friday's close. It's trading at around the same level in Zurich. The dollar is also doing well in Western Europe. It closed in Tokyo at 229 yen, up more than 2 yen from Friday. Some dealers, though, say the reason was less the strength of the dollar than the weakness of the yen.